Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What's in a name? In today's day, many people base their names on how nice they sound. And not to say that parents don't put a great deal of effort into choosing names for their children, but oftentimes the way that it rolls off your tongue takes a very high place. In other cases, sometimes people decide that they're going to name their child something unique, and so the parents either invent something or they create something that is different or has never been a name before to set their child apart. And yet there are still other times when names are used to honor some other person in life who has been impactful in some way. What's in a name? In biblical times, names were used to say something, like Abram. Abram's name was changed to Abraham, and Abraham means the father of many nations. This name change happened after God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the sand on the seashore. And so it makes sense. If God's going to fulfill this promise to Abraham, then yes, he will be the father of many nations. And then there are other names in Bibles that express circumstances, like the name Esau, right? Esau literally means hairy. Why? Because when he was born, he was a very hairy baby. And consequently, his brother was named Jacob. Why? Because Jacob was grabbing the heel of his brother Esau, and as you may have guessed, Jacob means heel grabber. In Isaiah, we hear of names of Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And these titles, these names are not given to Jesus because they sound nice. They're given to Jesus because they tell us exactly who Jesus is for you. So last week we looked at the names Wonderful Counselor and we looked at the name Mighty God. And as our text continues, we hear that Jesus is also Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Now, way back when, people thought that Isaiah was trying to deny that Jesus, that is the Son, and the Father were two separate entities. But that's not what's going on here, right? Jesus is an everlasting Father, but not in the way that God the Father, who, you know, we attribute creation to, is a father. The reason Isaiah names him as Everlasting Father is because it tells you how Jesus feels about you. He feels about you the same way a father does. We all have fathers in this room, and really we all know what a father is supposed to do. A father is supposed to protect. A father is supposed to provide for his family, for his children especially. And this is exactly what Jesus does. He makes sure that you are well provided for and protected. That's what Everlasting Father needs. And the reason that we have, you know, all of this creation stuff, our body, our soul, our eyes, our ears, everything that we have, is because Jesus has provided. That's it. That's the end. It's because he has gone to the cross where he shed his blood. And so now God is able to consider us according to Jesus' perfection that is poured over us, and not according to our sin. Because we wouldn't expect somebody who we have sinned against, somebody who we have been very, very hostile toward, to give us anything good in life. But Jesus changes that for us. By pouring out his blood for us, he gives us an everlasting Father. And it means we have everything we need to support our body and life. Even now and into eternal life, the promises of Jesus last forever. Now, I don't know, I mean, I guess looking out, most of you have children. And the truth is that parents know how difficult it is when their children suffer. It's not any fun. to watch your children suffer. And the truth is that especially when there's nothing you can do about it, and you almost wish that God would have given you some sort of magical extension cord that you could plug into your heart, and then you could plug it into your child, and you could suck all of the pain and suffering away from your child onto yourself. But Jesus does that. That's exactly what Jesus does for you. He takes all of the suffering that we deserve and he takes it from the wrath of God that is supposed to be yours and he absorbs it onto himself on the cross, ensuring that you have all of the promises of God both now and forever. And even in the midst of some present suffering you might be enduring, you can know that this isn't forever, but that Jesus has given you eternal promises, forever promises, that suffering will be put away for all time. Why? Because he is your eternal Father. And what sort of blessings does a father give, right? I know for my children, I give them everything I think is good for them, which really leads us to the next title, Prince of Peace. That's what an everlasting father gives. He gives peace, right? I know, again, I'll share from parenting experience. Sometimes children fight, right? And the truth is that when I hear screaming from another room, I have to go over there and I have to break it up, right? I have to teach my children how to share and interact with each other and make sure that they have a peaceful relationship. But as we look around the world, the truth is that sometimes we don't see a whole lot of peace. Instead, what we hear about is war. We hear about fighting and arguing, even amongst families. We won't even get started on politics. Peace? I don't see much peace going on in the world. And so we go, what gives, God? Aren't you supposed to come down here and break it up? Aren't you supposed to come down here and show us all how to live a peaceful world and a peaceful relationships with one another where we don't have to worry about wars or terrorism or any of these awful things? And Jesus says, of course. What do you think the cross was all about? Instead of bringing what we know as, you know, a physical peace, it brings peace between God and the entire world. Again, remember, by nature, we are hostile to God. By nature, we are filled with sin. We cannot do anything that is God-pleasing. And so what is God's take on this whole thing is that he really should pour out his wrath on us. I mean, really, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, whatever fruit it may have been, he should have just wiped his hands and started over. All right, this one got destroyed. This world got ruined by these people I put here. So I'm just going to throw this world away, and I'm going to start another one over here. He had every right to do it, but he didn't. Because Jesus himself was there at the beginning, and Jesus, at the very beginning, his cross was already a reality. It was already set in time when Jesus would come, when he would do a crucifixion for you and for the whole world, when he would shed his blood so that there could be peace between you and God. That's what the cross is all about. It's about bringing this sort of peace that we can't really measure, right? A peace that we're not going to see with our eyes or on a piece of paper in a peace treaty. It's a peace between you and God, knowing that your sins are forgiven. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how numerous, your sins have all been wiped away with the blood of the Lamb. And now God looks down and he sees you with his son's sacrifice poured over you, and all he can do is smile. All he can do is receive joy for what his son has done for you. But if you really want to see the world peace thing, that's where it starts. It starts with peace between you and God, because as Jesus' forgiveness trickles onto you, it empowers you to forgive others. I don't know if there's any sort of arguing going on in your life, either between a close friend or a family member or something of that nature, but the truth is that the source of peace in your relationships here on earth all relationships, no matter what they are, the source of peace is in the peace that Jesus brings you. It's in forgiveness. So often we don't use that gift, but we should. My friends, the peace of God is real, and it's for you from Jesus Christ. But our sermon today started with a question. What's in a name? I'm not sure about what's in your name. I have no idea why your parents named you what they did. But I can tell you that in Jesus' name, you have a wonderful counselor. In Jesus' name, you have a mighty God. In Jesus' name, you have an everlasting Father. And in Jesus' name, you have a Prince of Peace. And it all boils down to this, that in Jesus' name, you have forgiveness, life, and salvation through his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your names in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.